Welcome to Your Dunamis Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamis Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at Dunamis Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. I'm here with my co-host, Catherine Pearson.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine.
Okay. Hello, Dr. Pauline.
So what would you like to say about contact information today?
Find it, use it,
go for it,
reach us. Well, just really quickly, I think, check out dunamascenter.com, and Dunamas is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. Look there for, what's happening with us, what we have for sale, books, seminars, all that good
counseling,
right?
Birth classes or not, or videos, or whatever we have available at the time. And also on Blog Talk Radio, in the description of the show, there will be more ways to get a hold of us there.
Right, yeah. Right.
So, Catherine, I just want to say right up front, you know, the name of our show is Your Dunamis Life.
Yes.
And so part of that is, how do we live more fully for God in the fullness of whatever spiritual gifts we've been given?
Right.
And so one of the things that we're going to talk about today, because it is Thanksgiving week, is Thanksgiving and how biblically is prayer done, and how are we as people who live in the Dunamis approaching God?
Right. Through prayer.
Yeah. And so there's going to be a lot of scripture on different ways of praying and what prayer can mean. Because on Thanksgiving, traditionally, people get together and they say, I am thankful for, you know, my family or my relationships, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But then
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are thankful for the material goods they've been given, which is fine.
Right.
But last week we did the whole show on gluttony. So what are we really, are we praying for more? Are we thankful that we got a lot? Are we, you know... Really, what are we doing with our Thanksgiving time?
Right. How are we approaching, like you said, how are we approaching God and coming to Him, to His feet?
Right, and connecting with Him.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so many amazing examples in Scripture of how to pray, don't we?
Yes. Yeah.
And our first example that is always talked about in the church and is our primary point is our Matthew chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's the Lord's Prayer because they asked Jesus, how then should we pray?
Right.
And, you know, I was reading something that said, it wasn't that Jesus laid this out to say, this is the exact words of how you should pray, but really this is kind of the pattern
mm-hmm.
of how you should be praying.
Well, and I think... Not that, I mean, we certainly could pray this word for word.
Oh, yeah.
There's
absolutely.
Nothing wrong with doing that. I mean, obviously, Jesus said, pray this. But it also, like in verse 9, it says, in this manner, therefore pray. So, like you were saying, use it as a model. Use it as
right
a template.
If you will.
Right?
Yeah. So, you know, it's, so we're going to kind of break this down, I think, a little bit differently and look at examples of this model of prayer and how it applies to our prayers of thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
for this week.
Yeah.
And so the first thing, as you said in verse 9, pray then in this way, is our Father who art in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first sentence of that prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But what he's saying, God's our Father, God is in heaven, and here's a manner of prayer. But the focus is on God first.
Right. The very first thing he mentions is to, you know, in the traditional language, hallowed be your name. So, like, glory to God.
Right.
Recognizing the Father and,
right.
and how much we need to think of Him as holy and hallowed and
right.
Worthy of praise and honor. And that's first.
Right.
It doesn't start with, so if you could send all the things that we want into our lives.
And you know, Jesus, you said, if I asked for anything in your name, so I'm asking for a new SUV in your name, you know, it doesn't say that.
No, but it starts with, let's glorify the Lord. Let's glorify our Father in heaven, our Daddy, our
Creator.
Our Father, yes.
It's just amazing. My favorite way of reminding myself of how to do that is looking at the way they prayed in the Old Testament about God.
Okay.
And one of my favorite examples of it is in Nehemiah. And when we go to chapter 9, he spends 26 verses talking about who God is.
Wow.
Before he asks for anything. And his who God is stuff is very focused on what God did along the way, but who he is, and it just is mind-boggling sometimes. So our Father who art in heaven,
give us some examples from Nehemiah.
Well, verse 6, thou alone art the Lord.
Mm.
You alone are the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You alone have made the heavens. And I love this, not just the heaven, but the heaven of heavens.
Mm.
You know,
yes.
With all the hosts. And then he made the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. He gave life to all of them.
Hmm.
And the heavenly host bows down before thee. So when you were talking about being hallowed and praiseworthy, all the heavenly hosts bow down before him. So Nehemiah is acknowledging he's the God, he's the creator, he put life in everything, and everything in heaven bows down to him,
wow.
Shows him praise, honor, and glory.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on for that. Many times he says, thou art the Lord. He talks about who he chose, like choosing Abraham, how God helped them stand up against their enemies, getting across the Red Sea. I mean, it just goes on and on up until in verse 32, he says, after all you did for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, therefore, our God, the great, the mighty,
still recognizing,
and the awesome God, who does keep covenant and loving kindness. That's all in that one sentence. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be that name.
Mm-hmm.
That's the pattern. How much time do we spend before anything else just thinking about God and how incredible he is?
It's true. It's something that we should really examine in our own behaviors, in our hearts,
yes.
Our actions, our thoughts. I admit that I don't always do that first. But I will say that there are times when I feel like praying and I don't always know how to start.
Mm.
And so I do try and remember this and just try and think about, you know, how awesome God is. And he's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the creator of the heavens and earth. He created the mountains. He created, mm-hmm. You know, and I think, you know, living in Colorado Springs, we have great big mountains right next to us. So it's easy to remember.
Yeah. I know. And sometimes you look at them and you're like, every single one of those peaks was designed by God.
Yeah. It's awe-inspiring.
Yeah. It can be. And it's just so amazing. And then I love going to the beach and seeing the vastness of the seas.
Yes.
You know, and remembering that that's who God is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When I have the days that I can start my morning this way, I really have learned this, but I don't do it every day either. I mean, sometimes I'm just like, please, God, please, you know, but, but so, you know, when I want something from God, whether it's a healing or whether it's a word or whether it's something, I try to put myself before him and recognize who he is as Nehemiah did, you know, that he is the God who created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
He's the God that separated out the seas and raised up those mountains we talked about here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a picture going around on Facebook, and I can't remember exactly where it is, where the two seas meet, and from the aerial shot, you can see the different color. It's like a line.
Wow.
Now, can you say that that's an accident when God says he keeps the seas separated? So that means they have different salt content. They have different temperatures. And I just look at that and go, how can anybody think that there's not this amazing creator, Father God, who art in heaven?
Right, right.
And how can we not praise that? How can we not hold his name hallowed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, for me, when I, you know, I'm thinking about how awesome God is and how he's our healer and he's our provider.
Yeah.
You know, all of these amazing attributes, you know, then I feel like that gets me in the right posture,
mm-hmm.
Spiritual posture to move forward in prayer.
Right. And, you know, I find then in verse 10 in Matthew 6, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, it kind of reminded me of Jeremiah in chapter 26, where Jeremiah says, whatever you think is right, God.
Yeah.
Now, remember, Jeremiah is the prophet that keeps getting thrown in the sewer pit. Every time he goes to speak for God, he gets thrown in a sewer pit and his life is threatened.
I hate it when that happens.
And he says, whatever you think is right.
Right. So after we acknowledge how awesome God is, the next step would be to relinquish our will right up front.
Right.
And say, your will, Lord.
Well, the fun thing about Jeremiah is he does go on and say, but, and I'm going to paraphrase, Pauline paraphrase version, but might I make a suggestion? You could certainly let them kill me, but if you did, it might not be a really good testimony for who you are.
just
suggesting. But he started with whatever you think is right.
Mm. Yes.
So do we submit ourselves to what to that? Or do we try to define for God what right should look like?
Oh, it's tough. So many times I think for myself what I would like.
I know.
And so it's challenging to to say, God, you know, I would love this. I would like this. But to really, you know, like I said, spiritually put yourself in a posture of, okay, but whatever is best, whatever is your will,
right,
is best.
Right. And, you know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's the only time you see him kind of having a conversation with God about, you know, could we maybe
please
do this different?
This
yeah. And, but yet he at the end said, but thy will be done.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Abraham also said to God, you know, if there's these righteous, would you change your mind about something? So there's nothing wrong with us saying, you know, God, I kind of think this. Have you considered this? He's God. We know he has. But we even see Jesus saying, is there any possibility that there's another way?
Right.
So it's okay to say that. But then do we say, thy will be done?
Right. Where do we leave it?
Mm-hmm.
Do we leave it in, no, it has to be my way? Or do we leave it in, okay.
Yes.
Whatever the Lord's ultimate decision is, will be best.
Because we just acknowledged all of who he is, right?
Yeah. Right. If we've done all that,
right,
how can we not then say that he has the ultimate, this for some reason reminded me of a GPS, you know, GPS, global positioning,
right?
You know, view of the whole globe, you know, kind of, you know, like God. He's got a view of the whole big picture.
Right. And he knows where this is and that is and what storms are coming. And
right. Do yeah, we absolutely. Submit to that global positioning? Yeah.
Or too many people do and drive themselves into a problem because that one doesn't always tell them the truth. But if we listen to the God with regard to what you're saying, then he will always tell us the right direction to go.
Exactly.
You know, Catherine, I want to touch on hallowed be thy name before we move on again, because you were looking at some scriptures in the New Testament of joy in our prayers and how we approach God, and how do we acknowledge who He is. He's this great and mighty creator, and then His hallowed be thy name might be expressed in some of these ways that were shown from Paul.
Right.
On how to pray.
Right. I think a lot of our listeners will probably be familiar with Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So back in verse 4, it starts with rejoice in the Lord always.
Yeah.
Rejoice.
Right. So even though His will might not be what I thought it should be, and then I end up feeling like, oh, He really didn't listen to me. Or I can rejoice and say that I know that God will do the very best for what I need.
Right.
And I can rejoice in that.
Right. And don't be anxious, but just present your requests with thanksgiving.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, when I do remember to pray about who God is first, it's amazing how that level of anxiety just drops before I put anything before Him, before I ask Him to help me with anything. If I acknowledge who He is, and then I show joy, or, you know, hallow His name, that anxiety of will I get it, will I won't, will God hear me, it tends to just kind of dissipate, so that when I do put a petition before Him, which is the next line, I'm already okay. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay with whether it goes the way you might want, or the way, or another way.
But He's God. Mm-hmm. And when I acknowledge that, part of what I acknowledge is there's nothing that's too great for Him.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we do feel that way, don't we? Like, oh, my thing is so big. But He, seriously, He just put the entire planet together. He put every person, you know, every person, every animal, every plant on it to work together.
Right.
And now, whether or not I get a raise is too big for Him. I'm just saying. But, you know, before we move into the requesting portion, we just want to take a little break.
Commercial break.
Okay. And mention again that I think the two books that would be awesome for Christmas is our Proverbs Study Guide and the Won't Somebody Please Hear Me. If there's somebody who's got birth traumatology syndrome, that'll be coming up on our website by next week for pre-order, because it's going to be going into the print shop next week.
Yes.
It's a very, it's not long, it's not complicated, but it's packed with lots of information.
Is it sort of like a handbook size, or is it like full novel size?
No, it's like a little book. So, you know, there's understanding the problem, approaching your body, mind, spirit from any really trauma, but specifically about birth trauma, the impact on the mom and the family, and then ideas for healing and growth.
Cool.
So it goes very quick.
Okay.
So that dunamascenter.com would be the place to look for those.
Excellent.
Okay. So back to our praying with thanksgiving and all that.
Yes.
So verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. We've acknowledged who God is. We've brought joy into what we're saying. Now He asks for something. But what are we asking for?
Our daily bread. Yeah. Not our bread for the whole month.
No.
Not our bread for the whole year. Not our bread until we retire.
Right. And so this is where a lot of preachers will talk about, well, that's your daily word. But, you know, I think it might actually be, what am I going to eat today, too?
Sustenance, yeah.
Yeah, it can be just for today. But I also see it as His daily presence. You know, sometimes when I'm getting ready to come into the center and I'm praying this, and then I'm going to be coming in and I do the counseling and I have a lot of things to think about, if I ask Him that day for... What I ask a lot for on those days is to have the mind of Christ. And we're going to talk more about asking for these things. And I ask Him for that my eyes would see God before me that day, my ears would hear his voice, and my mouth would speak what the Holy Spirit would have me say to people.
Hmm.
And then I would have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's my daily bread.
Well, you know, Jesus said that he is our daily bread.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if, you know, if he's our, if, that's what it is. If man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word of
God. Yeah.
Yeah. So if, you know, if Jesus is that living word, then yes.
Yes. So we want that every day. Mm-hmm. And you made a fun comment when we were preparing about how this is one line of the whole prayer to ask for something.
Exactly. We're looking at, so it starts in verse 9 and goes over to verse 13, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So five verses. This is one phrase, one verse. This isn't, you know, the entire prayer. It's not even half of the prayer. It's one little part of the prayer.
Right.
So it's not, to me, the takeaway from that is that our prayers shouldn't be constantly about asking and asking and asking and asking. You know, please give us this, give us this, give us this, give us right. this. Because it's just one
yes.
phrase.
And, you know, it's just one part of that. And the next part is an even longer phrase. Forgive us our debts or forgive us our sins.
Mm-hmm.
How? As we have forgiven our debtors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the things we do here at Dunamis Center when we're doing the counseling and things is how to forgive.
Right.
How to forgive others, how to let go of pain and hurt, connected to memories, so that God will help us to feel, we'll feel forgiven by him too. A piece of that is, I got to forgive myself.
Right, right. Sometimes we feel like we sin against ourselves, so we also need to extend forgiveness to ourselves.
Absolutely. And it's so funny to me, and I used to do the same thing, so I'm not judging anybody else, but it's so funny to me how many people feel like God has forgiven them, but they can't forget themselves. So it's like we're holding against ourselves something that God doesn't even hold against us anymore, as if we know better than God.
Yeah.
I've asked people flat out, okay, so you're smarter than God on that thing. And they're like, well, no. Okay, but you're holding something against God's anointed, which is what we're saying here, too. Because the Bible does tell us that when we're born again, we're God's anointed.
Right.
It also says, do not go against God's anointed.
Okay, right.
So if I'm constantly holding this against myself, so if I actually am one of my own debtors at that point,
mm-hmm.
when I'm holding unforgiveness against myself, I'm saying that I owe myself something, or I owe other people something, or, you know, and God's going, you know, if you would acknowledge this and forgive yourself, you'd already know I've already forgiven you as you have forgiven.
Yeah.
And so it's like, wow, it lets me totally off the hook.
Right, right.
To do that. And
forgive and move on.
Yeah. So I would say if you get to this part and you have a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness, perhaps you need to veer off and deal with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Deal with it before it just takes over.
Right. And I think that we could put up on our page, our website, dunamiscenter.com, and a link to some sheets that might help you with that.
Yeah.
Just to help you outline that.
Yeah.
So if you link to dunamiscenter.com, I believe that we'll have that in the Blog Talk Radio information as well. Then you can pick those sheets up and help yourself with this a little
How
bit.
How to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
And do not lead us into temptation, as if God leads us into temptation. But, you know.
It's a good reminder.
Good reminder. But deliver us from evil.
Yes. We don't want to. We don't want to go that path. I think it's. To me, it's a reminder of, you know, Holy Spirit, you know, like we are, our show is the Dunamis Life,
right?
Your Dunamis Life, which is empowered to move and go forward with the
and
power of the Holy Spirit.
And live within the power we already have.
Right. And so through that power that the Holy Spirit has given us, you know, I think he can deliver us and lead us away from evil and
temptation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of if we're more filled with the Holy Spirit and more focused on those things, that we're less likely to even be tempted. And, you know, that reminds me of Ephesians, where Paul prays for the people to be filled with even more of the Holy Spirit, that they would walk in the Holy Spirit. And I think you have that, right, Catherine?
Yeah, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And it starts with, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So there again, he's starting with thanks.
Right.
Like we talked about earlier. And it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe.
Yeah. And so it's filled with more of that power.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when we're filled with that power, we have that dunamis in us. And that dunamis helps us to hold, for God to help us to hold back from temptation. Mm-hmm. You know, if we've got that in us, then our communion with the Lord through his spirit is just magnified. And temptation becomes less and less for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're less likely to follow what the evil one's wanting to put before us.
Right.
And the dunamis gives us that
right.
ability to do that. You know, I find, you know, some verses have this section in parentheses, as it may or may not have been part of the original prayer or the original interpretations. But at the same time, it's again, now we're bookending, recognizing who God is.
Right.
And he says, for thine, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. So he's a God of power, kingdom, and glory.
Yes.
So now we've kind of bookended him there.
Right. Start with how awesome God is and end with how awesome God is.
Mm-hmm. And we want to keep our power growing in that dunamis, because that's what's going to help us to go forward.
Right.
However, not everybody understands that, do they?
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, people will say, well, we know that God can handle all things.
Mm-hmm.
Or hopefully we know that God can handle all things. But sometimes, you know, I think to myself, well, but he may not notice me. I'm kind of maybe small and insignificant and...
Everybody else.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Not me. I ask him for things. They don't happen.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot, unfortunately. And it's kind of makes me sad, because that does tell me that, first of all, you've probably not stopped and recognized who God is initially.
Tell me more about what you mean.
Well, I haven't recognized that he's the God who set the planets and the earth in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes somebody like Jeremiah, where he says, I chose you in the womb.
Oh, right.
Now, Jeremiah could have just been like, you know, Jeremiah is like, what am I even here for? What, you know, maybe you shouldn't ask. I don't know. I'm sorry. Because look where that landed. But, you know, David in 1 Chronicles... in 17:16, also makes a comment about that. He says, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me this far? And some versions say that you are mindful of me.
Mm.
Who am I? I mean, it's fair to say, I don't know that God sees me, but he does. He's chosen you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to be lamenting, you know, well, when God, when, and why God, why, and do you even care, and do you even see me?
Right.
And now when I'm doing this pattern of prayer,
mm-hmm.
before I even ask him for anything, I do include, like, you know, in the midst of all that,
mm-hmm.
this amazing God became mindful of me.
Amazing.
It just blows my mind.
Right.
Then he reaches down out of all the however many people on planet Earth, and he plucks me out. He plucks you out. He plucks Jeff. He plucks Sharon. And he says, do this thing for me. Before we wrap up tonight, we just want to remind you that we are donation supported, and our donations do go to healing marriages and helping people have healthy births so that hopefully they won't need my new book, Won't Somebody Please Hear Me? And I'd rather that than try to fix it.
Right, right. Yes, we welcome your donations, and you can do that on dunamoscenter.com.
Yep, lots of donation buttons. And I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And we'll talk to you next week.